Blog Talk Radio.
It's game time, not just for me, but the Pacers and the Heat. Let's get this party started. You're listening to Real Sports Talk Radio, brought to you by FactSportsPage.com. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/RealSportsTalkRadio and FactSportsPage.com. To get in contact with Randy, you can call in at 760-283-0846 and find Randy at Twitter at Randy at RandyBSD. Hope everyone's doing well here on this Friday night here. May 24th, Eastern Conference Finals. Eastern Conference Finals are going right now, 39-37 in the second quarter. I am Randy Zellier from Back Sports Page, owner and founder of Back Sports Page. Again, you can find me on Twitter at RandyBSP, 760-283-0846. The phone number again is 760-283-0846. Conspicuous by his absence, the man, the myth, the legend, the angry one, Jose Padilla. He has the night off. Lots going on in the sports world. We have so much to talk about, and there's so many things I want to get to. I'm beyond angry as a sports fan and as a guy who's a sports broadcaster. There's so much going on. I need to go off on. And we changed the format of the show, and the days of me sort of being politically correct have come to a screeching halt. I'm going to call it like it is. And since we are talking about LeBron James, the Miami Heat, and the Eastern Conference Finals, we need to get off this kick about the play that LeBron James made at the end of Game 1 was a clutch play. He got to the basket and made a layup. He was able to get the step. There was nobody in his way. People want to say, well, it was a clutch move and this and that. Listen, LeBron James is the greatest player in He's a great player in the NBA now. Probably one of the most gifted NBA players we might ever see in this league. I will always give him his professional accolades. There is no question about that. I'd be stupid if I sat here and said that LeBron James if I said he wasn't the most talented player we may have ever seen in the NBA, I'd be just coming off as a hater. I'm not. I really, to watch him play is a gift. I'm lucky enough to have grown up being able to see Jordan play through a majority of his career. So I feel lucky and gifted that I'd be able to see a player like this play, in his prime like this. A lot of players got to see a lot of fans get to see players on the tail end of their career. Not me. I'm lucky enough where I get to see both Michael and LeBron. LeBron just doesn't have that want to have the ball at the end of the game. You can make any arguments that you want with me that I'm that I'm wrong on this. I don't think I am. Listen, the simple fact of the matter is, yeah, he hit a game-winning layup. It was more of like a defensive breakdown for Indiana than it was LeBron winning that game for the boys there in Miami, which started bringing up a lot more questions this week about the Michael LeBron debate with Phil Jackson's new book coming out. I'm in the process of reading 11 Rings, which you can find at bookstores now. You really have to understand that these are two different players coming from two different eras. Some people are sitting there saying that this is a better era because there's more marquee players around the NBA than there was when Jordan played. Jordan, each team had one superstar and individual talent. If you listened to this show before, you've heard me talk about Jordan's era with Barkley playing in Phoenix and Philadelphia at that point in time. You had Karl Malone and John Stockton playing in Utah. Portland had Clyde Drexler. Atlanta had Dominique Wilkins. The Charlotte Hornets had Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson. Kendall Gill and that crew. The New Jersey Nets had a young Kenny Anderson and Derek Holman at the time. They were really thriving. The Knicks had Patrick Ewing. And as we go on, the list of teams, the San Antonio Spurs had David Robinson and Sean Elliott. So there was always those one big star and extras. So now you have teams where Atlanta has Josh Smith, Al Horford, and they have two key extra guys such as Devin Harris and Jeff Teague. The Chicago Bulls have Derrick Rose and Jakeem Noah. The Cleveland Cavaliers have Kyrie Irving. The Los Angeles Clippers have Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and they have a great supporting cast. So for us to sit here and say that, you know, this is much different from when Jordan played, it's not an accurate statement. It's not accurate whatsoever. So, you want to join in this conversation, 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. At 9:45, I'll be joined by Ryan Stern, host of the Beyond the Benches every Sunday here on Back Sports Page Radio Network. He'll be joining me live in a little bit. Also be joined by Sarah Gordon. She'll be joining in a few minutes as well. I'm also not buying on how the NBA, you know, we're allowing this and just sort of being okay with these mediocre teams like the Bobcats and the Sacramento Kings and the Washington Wizards, Orlando Magic, Cleveland Cavaliers. They're okay with these teams being in the lottery every single year. If you look, the Sacramento Kings last made the playoffs back during, I think, the 2004-2005, maybe 2005-2006 season. Since then, it's been 6 or 7 years, and they're not doing anything. The Cleveland Cavaliers, since losing LeBron James, stockpiling young talent. They're not doing anything. It's not going anywhere. Now, what I do think is happening with the Cleveland Cavaliers, now that they've gotten the number one pick, and this is segueing into another topic that we were talking about during the week. Cleveland got the number one pick. Is this a setup? Like, really? Like, are you... How much more clear are you trying to lure LeBron James back to Cleveland by saying, look, we have Kyrie Irving, and now we have another number one draft pick coming into the organization? By the way, Dan Gilbert's son looks awesome with that bow tie. I think that bow tie might have been the coolest thing ever as far as the draft lottery was concerned. I firmly believe at the end of the day, LeBron James will not be wearing a Miami Heat uniform after next season. What you're seeing from right now from the Indiana Pacers, which, by the way, have a 46-37 lead with about 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. I think what we are seeing from the Indiana Pacers, saying you can have the best player in the NBA with LeBron James and have two unbelievable sidekicks in Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. You can have those type of players on your team and have guys like Shane Battier, Ray Allen, Rashard Lewis, Chris Anderson, Mario Chalmers, Norris Cole. You can have those guys, but at the same time, a lot of those guys like Lewis, Allen, and Wade are getting older. So LeBron playing through his prime years, he's going to be losing. If he stays in Miami, it's going to be his team, and they're going to have to lure other people there. Now, of course, if you're a free agent, you want to play with LeBron James, but if you're in salary cap hell, how are you going to go out and get people there? So I ask you people, I ask the public audience, 760-283-0846. If you're LeBron James, are you going to stay with an aging Heat team? Where you keep bringing in older veterans who want to just sort of piggyback off your talent and try and, you know, do those not three, not four, not five, not six NBA championships? Or are you going to go to Cleveland, where you have a bunch of young guys who can benefit from you and still compete and erase what was the biggest blunder of your career, which was the way you left Cleveland? It's a really, really, really interesting development there. The Cleveland Cavaliers getting the number one pick in the NBA draft this year has changed it up. Real Sports Talk Radio, you're on with Randy.
What's going on, Randy?
It is the one and only, the angry one, Jose Padilla. Mr. Padilla, good evening. I hope you are enjoying your night off.
Yes and no. It's been the weather's been dreadful, but heading back home right now from a long day. How are you doing there, sir?
I'm doing okay. I'm just going to recap with what we've went over here in the first couple minutes. And you please let me know your opinion, because I know you'll have a lot to say. The first part about it is, we were talking about the difference in the NBA between the NBA now compared to when Jordan played. But mostly right now, we're talking about the LeBron situation and how the Cavs getting the number one pick fits this equation. Now, I ask you, can the Miami Heat find a way to retain LeBron and his services? Because right now this is turning into, I think this team will be able to win this year and win next year, but you have to start looking realistically and say, look, Ray Allen, Rashard Lewis, and Dwayne Wade are not getting any younger. Whereas you can go to a Cleveland team that has a Kyrie Irving who's going to have the number one draft pick. It's a tough situation, and I can ask you, Mr.
I don't think it is at all.
Where would you do?
I want to go to Cleveland, and I'll tell you why. First of all, as good as Kyrie Irving is, he's in walking injury pretty much at this point in his career. The guy never stays healthy. Since he's been a prominent focus on the basketball scene, the guy's never happy. So that's the first thing there. They have the first pick again this year, and in all likelihood, they're going to draft Nolan Knowles from Kentucky, who won't be able to play until December. If he wants to go back to Cleveland, which I don't know if he's excited to be good, but if he went back to Cleveland, he's going to be going back to the situation he's in.
I think it's going to be very compelling. And listen, I said it before. I'm not sitting here hating on LeBron James. I'd be a fool if I sit here and tried to talk down his accomplishments and talk down all the things and what made him a great player. I think what they're seeing with the Indiana Pacers is the Pacers are exposing the weakness of being able to beat them up inside.
Whose weakness was the Pacers exposing? I hope you said Miami and not LeBron.
Oh, no. Listen, I think in this situation, you take it as LeBron James is going to get his.
Yes, I didn't watch any of that game except for some highlights and having some people tell me what went down. I'll put it to you like this. If Miami plays their C-minus game against Indiana, and I'm assuming that was their C-minus game, and they still won the game because of LeBron, I don't know what Indiana's going to do. Quite honestly, it gets to the point, I think everyone expects Miami to obliterate every team. At the end of the day, you don't get points for how much you win or how much you dominate. The sole purpose of any sporting competition is to win the damn game. You don't get bonus points for winning by 50, and you don't lose points for winning on a last-second shot. So, anyhow, if that's the best game they're going to play, and I have a funny feeling it is, you know, they're going to have to play with such effort to try to take a game or two from Miami. I there's nothing you can say about Miami right now. Like, and I'll be honest with you. I think if the Knicks could have found a way to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think they would have been more. The series would be more intense. I don't see this series going far because, unfortunately, the league is star driven. So even though Carmelo Anthony never got any calls this year, I think there's just too much respect from both sides, both these teams, when it comes to these star players, that the series would have been compelling. This series isn't compelling because there's no one there on Indiana's side that is going to be able to take the ball and do anything of real significance. I mean, Paul George was a really good player. He didn't have a great game. He had a key shot, but in general, he didn't have a great game. And basically, his defensive blunder at the end of that game is what cost Indiana. And we're not even talking about Vogel's decision, which ironically followed the fact that he basically called into question Woodson's game management. And then Vogel commits probably what was a cardinal sin by not having the best defensive player out there in the last 2 seconds of the game.
But real quick, while you brought up the Knicks and while you're here, we'll really quickly talk about it. Reports are surfacing that Carmelo Anthony is playing with a separated shoulder. He's going to need surgery. Had a tear. He had a tear in his shoulder for the first round, during the playoffs this year. And this team's going to be revamped. They're saying that, J.R. Smith wants to stay with the team. It's going to be interesting. It's really going to be interesting. I think J.R. Smith's stock value diminished during that series against the Pacers.
I don't think it's very diminished. I think what it is that you saw all facets of J.R. Smith this year. J.R. Smith is one of those guys, you're going to get a lot of good and you're going to get a lot of bad. You just hope that the bad doesn't come at a time where it can hurt you. Unfortunately, he got all bent out of shape after the elbow. And then it comes after J.R. Smith had a knee, that he actually had a knee injury in the playoffs. I don't know if that affected him. I mean, he was still taking 20 shots a game, it seems. So, I mean, he could have been hurt that bad. If I'm in this, I know everyone is like doom and gloom when it comes to this team. They're all getting older. I always say this. Wait till the offseason actually happens. See what happens. Because you know this very well, Randy. It was just one dumb owner. All you need is one. I mean, last year we were talking about how the worst contract in the NBA probably was Joe Johnson. And that got moved. I mean, so nothing's impossible.
Again, they have to move that contract. Now, here's the thing, though. The Knicks and the Nets, I'm throwing the Nets in there, too. Both teams are in, like we've been saying, are in salary cap hell.
They're in cap hell for, this season, sorry, for 2 years, which, considering the state the team was in a couple of years ago, it's actually not that bad if you can deal with 2 years. And of course, also, Carmelo Anthony could always opt out of his contract as well. So, I mean, it's not like the worst thing in the world. This is not like the Knicks were a few years back where they were literally in cap hell for like 7 or 8 years. We're basically talking about 2 years. In the NBA, that's nothing.
Well, I'm pulling up the salaries right now so I can yell at you, as always. And the New York Knicks, and by the way, you and I can fight this all you want. You and I can always argue about this topic. After talking with people from the Nets organization, they think that they think the best years are yet to come with this squad. Meanwhile, when I made the comment to a couple people, about how I truly felt about the team, there weren't many people who disagreed with me.
Look what that got you this year. A first-round exit. They're not good. Listen, I told you, I told you this year before the season started. I thought the Knicks were going to be a lot better than people gave them credit for, and I was right on the ball on that. And I told you, I thought the Nets were not that deep talent-wise. I thought they had a couple of nice pieces, but nothing to write home about. You
all
know,
right,
they finished with the fourth best record in the East, but then they lost in the first round. And I picked them to win that series against the Bulls. So, to me, I don't know what the more damning factor is. The fact that I decided to go against my my gut with the Nets and pick them to win the first-round series against a team that had a lot of spunk, and the fact that you were touting this team and they lost in the first round and you actually went against them.
Well, really quickly, I'm gonna go over this with you. Then we have to go. I'm going to also ask you one last question. First off, next season, the New York Knicks are going to be in the top five of the highest payrolls in the league. But Brooklyn will be number one. Miami is going to be number two. And the way it looks like, the Lakers are going to be three and the Knicks are going to be four. So they're not totally in salary cap hell. All right.
No, they're not. Like I said, they're not. I mean, listen, for the Knicks, it's basically the next 2 years. We're talking about the Knicks, because the Knicks are done for this year. All this stuff with salary cap, we should talk about after the season is over. But just so the fans know, I'll just say this to you right now. Don't go nuts listening to people like us talk about this nonsense, because literally, it's for the next 2 years. And that's under the assumption that Amari Stoudemire is going to be in this team in the next 2 years. I'm telling you right now, he probably won't be.
All right, last question I have. I'm sorry, we have to go. I have two people on the line ready to go with us.
All right.
So you'll be back next week, correct?
Yes, I'll be back next week, and I'll try to listen to the show the rest of the night, but have fun. I'm actually heading home right now, so I'm probably just going to listen to the show the rest of the night, so you can just hang up on me. If you see the number again, just don't pick it up unless you need me to chime in.
All right, well, listen. Jose, I'm going to ask you two very important questions here. Number one, what age is it okay for you to stop wearing fan gear? Cutoff? What is the age that you, as a fan, you should stop wearing fan gear?
I don't wear it. I didn't wear it as a kid, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I wear it when I go out when I'm not in the season for any sports, so I don't wear fan gear. I mean, I wear a jersey like if I have a superstitious thing going on. Like, I've been wearing my Ranger jersey to my favorite watering hole, and they don't lose when I go there with the jersey. But, I mean, if I give an age, I would say once you become once you're 18, stop wearing the gear. Like, I don't know. I'm not the best person to ask about. I'm not much of a comes to stuff like that, to actually wearing it to the game and stuff. I don't believe in it, I guess, is the best way for me to put it.
Okay. Mr. Padilla, we'll talk to you a little bit.
All right, take care.
Next on our wandering spinning of guests and co-hosts, Mr. Ryan Stern of Beyond the Benches every Sunday night here on the Max Sports Page Radio Network. Ryan, good evening. How are you, my friend?
Good evening, oh great one. How are you?
Well, first off, thank you for the compliment of oh great one. I appreciate that. It's certainly not the truth, but I do appreciate the compliment. Real quick here, I'm going to start off how I ended with Jose about the being a fan, being a sports fan like you are. You're a sports fan. You're a diehard Ranger fan. You're a diehard Mets fan and a diehard Giant fan. You bleed your team's colors. You do that.
Absolutely.
As a sports fan, I have two very important questions for you. One, when is it enough to wear, you know, your team colors? Is there a point where you stop wearing fan gear?
Why? Why would there be? You're asking the wrong person. You're asking a guy who has a whole closet set aside just for his jersey. It is something my wife is not fond of. She does not enjoy the fact that I have a whole closet full of my jerseys and she doesn't get one for her purses. But That's how I roll.
Okay. And the second question is, when you're a fan of a team, and we'll take baseball for example, I think football is a totally different animal, so you can't really go that route. When you're a fan of a team, do you have to watch every game?
Do I what?
Do you have to watch every game?
No. But, well, baseball, I mean, I'm a Mets fan. Does any Mets fan really want to watch every game? I mean, there's only so much losing that anyone can take.
Well, the reason this question came up, there is a certain announcer who has a certain radio show every day on a certain ESPN New York network that has another job broadcasting for a certain baseball team in the area who was complaining about the fact that fans weren't watching Yankee games right now.
Does his name rhyme with Michael Schmay?
Yes, it does. Listen, at the end of the day...
Well, of course he's going to complain. One, his job pretty much is going to depend on a lot of the ratings. Two, the ratings are down this year throughout the entire sport of baseball. I don't know if it's a combination of, I guess, the NHL and NBA playoffs being as big of a story as they are. You had all six original six NHL teams in the playoffs for the first time in, I think it's 30 years, and it's somewhere in the 20 to 30 year range. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but the numbers are down throughout the entire sport of baseball.
I asked this question. We're going to ask Sarah Gordon, who's on hold and is going to be joining us in about a minute, this exact same question I'm about to ask you. Okay. Because Michael Kay went on the radio and basically stated, like, I don't understand how it could be a 2.1 rating, this and that, over the last week or so. I tweeted back to him, because Michael Kay and I are on Twitter friends, and I said to him, my exact words were, Michael, this past week the weather's been nice. It's been 80 degrees. People want to be outside. Plus, you have the NHL and the NBA playoffs. He tweets back to me, Randy, come on. The weather has been brutal. So after everything that I've just said there, only thing he says to me is...
Yeah, it was brutal today, and it wasn't so hot yesterday, but before that, we had a solid straight week of great weather in the New York metropolitan area.
I just don't get it. And so it brings up the question. I'm going to bring Sarah Gordon, one of our BSD Real Sports Talk Radio analysts. Sarah, good evening.
Hello.
And I'm going to ask you the same two questions I just asked Ryan. Number one, as a sports fan, with the exception of the NFL, because I think the NFL is a little bit of a different animal in this situation. But as a sports fan, do you feel obligated as a fan to watch or follow the team on a consistent basis?
I follow my Cowboys for every game. Whether or not I actually am able to watch the game, not necessarily, but I will have it on my phone so I can check the score. But, yeah, I follow my team.
The way – hi, Sarah, Ryan Stern here. The way that the question was proposed to me was, do you have to watch every game? And I said, no, I don't have to watch every game. But especially with technology now and with all of the apps and with all of the text alerts that you can get, I know whenever the Rangers score or when someone else scores, I know about it within 30 seconds of it happening. And, yes, that I will follow. But watching, I do not feel obligated to watch every game.
Again, it brings up the simple point, though. But again, Sarah, the NFL is a different animal because there's only 16 games. And if you, you know, it's just a little, it's a little bit different for the simple fact that it's only once a week.
Yeah.
NBA is 82 games. Major League Baseball is 160-something games. 162 games. And the NHL is 84 games normally?
No, it used to be 84. It's down to 82 now.
Okay, so it's 82 games. I was once a season ticket holder for the New Jersey Nets, now Brooklyn Nets. And I found it very difficult to go to 41 home games.
I wouldn't want to go to any of them.
Well, at the time, the team was good. But it was still very difficult to go to 41 home games, especially on a Tuesday night when they're playing the Sacramento Kings, and Sacramento is one of the worst teams in the league. There's not much intrigue of wanting to go see that. You know, my thing is sports fans, you know, Michael K. brought up a whole other topic of how far do you take your fandom. Like, there's diehard fans who won't miss a game. There's Yankee fans who watch all 162 games. There's Yankee fans that have season tickets for the Yankees that will go to every game. You know, it's like that. There's some really, really, there's Miami Heat fans who eat, sleep, and breathe Miami Heat basketball. There's Dallas Cowboy fans who actually think Tony Romo's a good quarterback, and they think that this is going to be the
year.
That's
because he is. It's always going to be their year. Or I should say, Cowboy fans will always say that it's going to be their year. It's like a requirement. If you're a Cowboys fan and you do not say that it is going to be your year, you should either give up saying you're a Cowboys fan or get with the program. It's always our year until the refs become against us, and then the weather, and, you know, every excuse but it actually being the Cowboys' fault.
It was funny. I had a great conversation with Chris Canty, former Dallas Cowboy, former New York Giant, now a member of the Baltimore Ravens. We had a great, great talk this week. And one of the things I asked him, I also asked Jaron Lockett from the New York Jets the same question. Do the players listen to the media and things that they say? And his exact words were, 99% of the time, they do not even acknowledge a newspaper, what the radio stations are saying. They don't really, you know, unless they're on the air answering the questions, they're not thinking about it. Now, do I really believe that? Probably not. I think they probably ignore about 50% of what we do. But I do think when people are talking about the Jets, for example, or I think it's the Cowboys, are not listening for the fact that everybody's picking them and, you know, the pressure's always constantly on them. I do believe that they listen to it and they hear it and they think about it. I think they'd be lying if they said they didn't. Ryan, I don't know how you feel about that, but I do think that they listen. I think the Mets have to understand that they, and listen that they are the second fiddle in this town to the Yankees.
I do believe that there are some players that will listen to, whether it be a sports talk radio show or watch SportsCenter in the morning. I do think that the upper echelon players will tend to stay away only because the majority of their day is probably taken up by other things, whether they're actually doing media relations, whether they are in extensive film study, whether they're doing some sort of charity event. I do think the upper echelon players are truthful in the majority when they say that they don't listen to anything that goes on in the media. But I do think that there are some.
I think they listen to it. I think because they want to hear their own press. I think they want to hear, I think guys like LeBron James, as great as and selfless as he is at times, wants to hear how great he is and how everybody looks at him. I think deep down they do want to hear that. Sarah, I think you probably going to disagree with me on that, but I think it's really true.
I don't know if it's that he thinks he wants to hear how great he is. I think he wants to hear as far as whether or not people see the good things that he does and the fact that he's not your typical one-man show kind of person that everybody thinks he is.
Well, look, Tony Romo, for example, right now has to listen to the fact that his owner came out and basically called him out and said, he has to stay off the golf course and get back onto the football field.
Which is completely accurate.
I don't disagree with it. But at this point, should that even be said? And
yes, it should.
And do you think Tony Romo was actually listening to
it? At this point, he better. I think I'm not positive, but his contract is up soon. If I remember correctly,
he just signed an extension.
Oh, he did. Okay, I don't know.
He just signed an extension, and Brian, I believe it's one of the highest-paid contracts.
Tony Romo, when he signed the contract, he was the third highest-paid player in the NFL. Joe Flacco signed after that, so Flacco did. And Aaron Rodgers' contract extension after that. So now Tony Romo is the fifth highest paid player in the league, which is an absolute joke in my
opinion.
Complete
total waste.
I think it's the only time that you'll see Romo ahead of Eli Manning.
No. Definitely not. You'll see him ahead of him more often than that. But that depends on...
What has he done in his career that's given you that sort of
he's
sense
a Dallas
of
Cowboy.
Feeling that he's going to do that?
He's a Dallas Cowboy. So right there, he's better than Eli Manning.
Right, so I guess two rings and an overall winning percentage make you...
I don't go by that. I go by what color uniform you wear.
Ah, okay. Typical Cowboys.
I'm sorry. I was distracted by Eli's two shiny Super Bowl rings. So I apologize.
It doesn't matter.
And even when you're talking about spouses, Eli Manning's wife is even hotter than Tony Romo and anything he's ever done.
I don't even know what his wife looks like, so I couldn't tell you one way or the other.
This is how Ryan judges it here, because Ryan and I went to a charity golf event.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
And we went to a charity golf event, and Ryan Tannehill, the second-year quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, who was touted publicly on the Hard Knocks, HBO Hard Knocks series last year, it was very obvious that his wife was absolutely beautiful and stunning, and they focused on her a little bit during Hard Knocks. So I say to Ryan Tannehill is going to be here. The first thing he says is, "You can interview Ryan. I'll interview his wife."
Okay then.
Yes, this is the first thing he says to me. Now, not the best thing to say, because behind us was one official of the event and another member of the Miami Dolphins was there. And I just sort of turned my head and walked away as quickly as I possibly could.
Good idea.
Oh, it was a brilliant idea on my part. With that else being said, and this is just a little side comment, Ryan, I won one of the auctions, by the way.
Really? Which one?
I won the ESPN 30 for 31, which
nice.
I won.
I was very disappointed that I did not get a call saying that I won one of the ones that I put in for.
With all that being said, from now on, Ryan, when you go to a celebrity golf event, I will not be joining you. And two...
See, I wonder why.
And two, if especially when there is another celebrity bowling event, you have to go with Sarah, because Sarah finds a way to maneuver herself around to make sure not only can she get the interviews and stuff that we need to get done, but she also finds a way to get autographs and good pictures for her son. So, lessons
that
she learned.
I've got mad skills.
Yeah, she's got mad skills. She's a player in that situation.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
All I have to do is bring my daughter, and then I guess I got the end too, right?
Well, I'll tell you one other great story with Sarah too, and I think you'll appreciate this one. We did a show on a Sunday morning, and this was right at the beginning of the NFL season, and there was a memorabilia show, a sports autograph and memorabilia show, in Wayne at one of the hotels. I thought it was just a sports card show, and it ended up being like an autograph show. And all the old school New York Knicks were there, a lot of the older Nets, like, you know, Roy Henson, Buck Williams, Daryl Dawkins was there, Kenny Anderson was there, a bunch of older players. They had Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, a whole bunch of guys there. But these people were charging for their autographs. Like, you go in there, you're buying a ticket, you're buying, like, it's like $35, $40 for Anthony Mason, Charles
Oakley
package.
Each person thing was a different price.
And it was like, all right, well, we're here, let's do this, we'll check it out. And because of our maneuvering around a little bit, Sarah was able to go over there and get like 6 or 7 free autographs. Like, I remember Charlie Ward gave us a look when we got the autograph for free. Because he's sitting there, like, you know, they're charging like $30 or $40 or $50 for his autograph, and Sarah just goes over there with his pad. Can you sign? Like, she gives the little sad face. Can you sign this for my son? And, you know, what's he gonna say? No. Like, at that point in time, like, he's not gonna say that'd be $35. he's not gonna go that route. So she found a way to take care of that and get that done. So I was very impressed with that method of it. What was really awkward was when we went upstairs. There was another room where they had all the athletes going, or former athletes going, signing all this memorabilia, and they're all just signing it. And it was like, you know, kids working in a sweatshop. You know what I mean? It was like just constant. And we went over and introduced ourselves to the people who ran this thing, trying to set up a business relationship to see if we can get some of these guys to do signings. And the woman wanted nothing to do with us. She looked at me like I had 9 heads, and that's okay. But I went on the website a couple of days later, and I spoke to somebody who I met who worked for this company, and I asked what they did with all the memorabilia. They said they sell some of it. They put some of it on eBay, which they did. You know, they signed. They had the rights to do it. But then they took some of these things and were just giving them away as gifts to people. Now, if they were giving away to kids that were disabled or so on and so forth, I'm okay with that. But you don't have Larry Johnson sit there and sign 30 or 40 of his jerseys, or Walt Clyde Frazier sign 30 or 40 of his jerseys, and have these guys give them away to their friends. That's Bush League.
Pretty much. It was a little sketchy, though, the way that they set it up. I mean, they didn't exactly have them in a prime location. It wasn't exactly like it was well known. I mean, to me, it seemed like they bamboozled these guys into thinking, oh, you know, we're going to get to see a lot of our fans. This is going to be a great situation for us. I mean, it just did not seem all 100% non-sketchy. It was more sketchy than legit. I mean, I felt so bad for some of these guys because, you know, they're doing it because they think they're meeting their people. They're going to keep up with the fan base. They're going to meet younger kids that are going to become fans. you know, stuff like that. And they end up sitting there. There were a couple of the guys that were just sitting there. Nobody's coming up to them. They looked completely and totally demoralized because they were out of it for probably, like, some of them have been out of the NBA for, like, what, 10 years now? So
more than that, yeah. Like, who there was one, I'm just trying to think of one.
Oh, I can't, like, I couldn't tell you, to be honest.
It's funny, I probably have the list right around here, too. I just remember, I'm trying to think of a Knicks player, like Bill Kimball.
Yes.
Ryan, Bill Kimball was there, and like you saw him sitting there at the table, and you have to remember, a lot of these guys, they have like a fee, they charge a fee for them to be at these events, but then a majority of their money comes from autographs. Now, Charles Oakley, John Starks, Anthony Mason, those guys are going to get their money. They're fan favorites. But then you have guys like...
Well, there was a guy that hadn't been in the NBA for over 20 years. I can't think of his name. I can see his face. I can picture his face. But I can't think of his name. I think it was like number 70-something. I don't know. My memory's not that good. But, I mean, the guy was sitting there, and it wasn't even like his agent or whoever that was supposed to be with him was talking to him. He's too busy standing there either Twittering or tweeting or whatever it's called, playing on their cell phone, not trying to get other people that were just standing there interested in getting their client's signature. It was awful. I felt bad for the guy.
Well, this company still does other types of shows. They just did a Giants reunion type of show, and like they had a whole bunch of different New York Giants there. They do a bunch of different things all over the place. It was just very interesting. Now, like, you know, my question to you, Ryan, are you someone who will go out of your way to spend money for an autograph? As a sports fan, as a diehard sports fan?
Spend money? It would have to be one of my all-time favorites if I were going to spend money. I'm a big proponent of going. What I do every year is I go to Albany for Giants training camp. And the way that they have everything set up is absolutely fan-friendly, and it is easy to get a lot of big-name autographs because they're so accessible. So I would rather go that route and be among 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 fans also trying to get that person's autograph than to go out and pay for one. It's not big enough for me in order to, unless you're talking about someone like a Mark Messier. If you're telling me Mark Messier is there, I'm probably paying for it.
Now, I have a question for you. If your daughter had a fan, or if your daughter was a fan of a specific person, and she really, 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 really wanted their autograph,
Do you think there should be a cap
at the cost? I mean, is there a cap that you'd be willing to spend, or just to make her happy, would you go all out?
If her favorite player is Tony Romo, I'm not spending any money on that autograph.
I was expecting that one.
No, for my daughter, I'd probably spend money that I wouldn't have spent if it were for myself.
Okay. Yes, for my son, I would do whatever I absolutely had to get him his autographs.
Yeah. My daughter is only 17 months old, so she doesn't understand the concept of anything like that, except for when I force her New York Rangers Ryan Callahan jersey on her like she wore today after their big win last night.
That's awesome.
But Yeah, I'm interested to see how she takes to the whole sports thing, because I'm such a huge sports guy, and my wife is. If sports were never invented, she'd be the same exact person that she is now.
Okay. I understand that one. See, for me, I'm not a huge sports buff. I mean, there are some sports that I would love to have be completely gotten rid of, you know, wiped off the face of the earth, whatever. But then there's other sports that I have to have. I mean, I grew up playing sports. So, I mean, my son is a fan of almost every team that I'm a fan of. I mean, are you hoping your daughter is going to be the same, that you hope she's going to go the same kind of teams that you like, or are you going to let her pick?
No, she's going to root for the same teams that I do, because unless it's... I don't mind if it's a team that's, say, like for me, being a huge Rangers fan, if she goes out, if she wants to go out and become a Los Angeles Kings fan, that I'm okay with. If she wants to go out and be a Cincinnati Bengals fan, even, and I'm a Giants fan, I'm okay with that. But if she's going to be a Jet fan, an Eagle fan, that I won't allow.
But would you allow the Dallas Cowboys?
No, please. You already know my feeling
exactly,
on that.
Exactly, yeah. Well, see, my son is a Dallas Cowboys fan like I am. My son is a Miami Heat fan like I am. Baseball, he's starting to waver. I mean, I'm not set on the New York Yankees, but that's who we go to the games when we can. But he's starting to like the Texas Rangers, but that's because he plays baseball. He's 10. He plays Little League baseball, and he plays for the Rangers. So now all of a sudden, he's starting to think, maybe I won't be a pitcher for the New York Yankees. I'll be a pitcher for the Rangers. So, but I mean, most sports we agree on. So, I mean, he's been being spoon-fed those teams. I mean, but for him, as far as soccer goes, I couldn't really care less. He's a Arsenal fan and a Red Bull fan. Me, I don't follow it as religiously as he does. I mean, if he flips through the channels and sees that Arsenal is on TV, doesn't matter what was on, whether it was his favorite movie or TV show, boom, he's putting on his sports. He's getting to that age.
Well, I will chime in about the autograph aspect of it, as well as my teams. For me, it's changed dramatically since I started working behind the scenes of it. A lot of writers and a lot of media people are still fans. They're still sports fans of the team, but they're just not like, you know, the basketball writers and people who work in the NBA are still like NFL addicts. The NFL guys are usually addicts of the NBA or baseball.
That's because they don't have to, they're not being forced, for lack of a better term, to watch it every game, report on every game, you know, every move everybody makes. After a while, it tends to get sickening, I would think.
Well, to a point. I also say the NFL is such a different animal because, again, it's only one day a week for 16 weeks. If you're working in the industry...
Don't they play on Thursday as well? Isn't it Monday and Thursday?
Well, I'm saying that, like, their team, like, for example, if you're a Giants fan, if they're playing on Thursday night, you don't have to, you know, Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Usually
I got you, me. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So basically, you know, in that situation, you're put into this position of on whether or not you're really, like, you really have to spend the money and also, like, be as, like, diehard about it. Like, for me, I'm a diehard New York Giants fan. I find myself, especially over the last few years, watching, you know, making sure I'm around to watch as many football games as I can. Not just Giants, but, like, I'll try and watch other teams. Obviously, I know more about the Giants than I do of other teams, and especially now, since I'm working in the industry, I'm learning to not only know who's who, but becoming friendlier with some of these guys and having the opportunity to talk and work with them, with some of them. Basketball is a little bit different animal. I'm really not much of a huge, you know, Nets fan like I was. Brian remembers me when I was younger. I was like a diehard Nets fan. I was Mr. New Jersey Net. And then I started working.
Well, I used to benefit from some of your season tickets.
Yes, you did. I'm just saying,
not that going to see the New Jersey Nets in the mid-2000s was a huge benefit, but a benefit nonetheless.
Well, Vince Carter was good, because you never knew what he was going to do every single night. But here or there. But once you start working behind the scenes a little bit, it takes away from that, you know, wanting to, you know, to go, you know, cheer. And like I remember sitting courtside when I was doing stats for the Nets Heat playoff game, when it was Shaq's first year in Miami. And I just remember when they had that triple overtime game, and Carter hit a shot to put it in the dough to double overtime. And I just remember like clenching my fist, going, "Yeah!" Like, and I'm sitting next to a Miami Heat announcer, and I realized, like, "Ooh, probably shouldn't have said that," type of attitude. It changes a little bit, and you start learning how to just sort of control your fandom a little bit. You know, baseball wise, it's so hard to be a baseball fan, being a diehard baseball fan. The games are so long. You can get to the stadium at 1 o'clock and not be home until 7 o'clock at night. Those games can drag, man. Those games can really, really, really drag. And as far as the paying for autographs, I've never been a huge fan of autographs. I like getting a picture because you get more out of a picture. There's more longevity of a picture than a signature. That's why I was a little surprised that you were bidding on some of the stuff you were bidding on at that auction. But, you know, it is what it is. Ryan, real quick, before I go to the sports update, we on Real Sports Talk Radio, changing the format, of course, every 30 minutes we give you a score update around the world of professional sports. Ryan, real quick, if you were to spend money on one autograph, what would it be, and what would it be like? What would the object be, and what would the signature be?
Well, Mark Messier is my all-time favorite player, so probably a Mark Messier signed stick would be my ultimate thing.
And how much would you pay up to?
How much would I pay? It's tough to put a value on something like that. I mean, do you go... I don't know if I were to... $100? I mean, the only reason why I bid on what I did at Anthony Fasano's charity golf event is because that money was going to his charity. It wasn't like me going out spending my own money to get an autograph. I couldn't see myself paying more than $100 to give to somebody for an autograph.
Okay, I understand you, because you're spending money to get a signature. Real quick, I'm going to give everybody, this is your Real Sports Talk score update. Right now, with 3:36 left in the third quarter, the Indiana Pacers hold a 2-point lead over the Miami Heat, 69-67. I'm sure Ryan's going to want to chat
about that. If I may interrupt you right there, I have the game on as we're discussing these topics. And Dwayne Wade just had a flop that would have made Marshawn Brooks jealous.
I will tell you that the flopping thing LeBron James is the king of the flop, and he doesn't get signed whatsoever. And that's the part that kills me. Real quick, we're going to run around Major League Baseball real quick. Just went final now. Cincinnati Reds over the Chicago Cubs 7-4. The New York Metropolitans trailing the Atlanta Braves in Flushing tonight 5-3. They're at the bottom of the eighth. Boston ahead of Cleveland right now 7-1 in the middle of the eighth. Miami Marlins and the Chicago White Sox tied at 3 at the bottom of the eighth. Milwaukee hosting Pittsburgh 2-1 in the bottom of the eighth. The Angels going for 6 in a row, 5-2 lead over Kansas City in the bottom of the seventh. In Houston, the Astros up 5-3 on the Oakland A's. Arizona trailing San Diego at the end of the third, 1-0. The Dodgers and the Cardinals scoreless in Los Angeles on the top of the second. Texas trailing Seattle in Seattle, the top of the second, 1-0. And Colorado has a 2-0 lead in San Francisco. Games that have already gone final. Washington over Philly 5-2. The Orioles over the Blue Jays. Man, the Blue Jays are just a real disappointment this year. They beat the Blue Jays 10-6. Minnesota got blanked by Detroit 6-0 tonight. Detroit over Minnesota, and the New York Yankees over the Devil. I don't know if they're the Devil Rays anymore. Over the Rays, the Yankees 9-4. Winners. I do believe that the Rangers take the ice again tomorrow night, if that is correct.
Yeah, 5:30 on one of the 400 NBC networks that there are.
just one final a few minutes ago. Pittsburgh eliminates Ottawa as they win tonight 6-2. Pittsburgh wins the series in 5. Like Ryan just said, tomorrow the Rangers are back in Boston, 5:30, puck drops at 5:30. Tomorrow night, 8 p.m., Detroit is at Chicago. Detroit has a 3-1 lead in that series. And then Sunday night, the Kings are in San Jose. It's a 3-2 series. The Sharks will try to even up that series and force a Game 7. So that's your Real Sports Talk Radio sports update, score update. Real quick, just news around the world of sports. You know, there's not a lot going on. I really have been very, very interested in this New York Jets situation. And you know, it's funny. I ask you might ask which situation that is, because there's so many of them going on. I guess
which
the real
situation
question
is that.
Well, my question to everybody is, if Rex Ryan benches, waves, or trades Mark Sanchez, will he have to change his tattoo on his shoulder?
No,
Geno Smith will be issued the number 6.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. I think that's what we really, really wanted to know. We were talking about this earlier this week, the Jets situation, and without sounding repetitive to every other news outlet in the country about the New York Jets and their situation that they're in, reports coming out that Rex Ryan's really upset with Mark Sanchez during the OTAs, and the defense is, you know, ripping him apart, so on and so forth. This is what people don't seem to understand about Rex Ryan. Yeah, he went to 2 AFC championship games with the New York Jets. He coached 2 AFC championship teams. Those were not his teams.
No, they
were
teams done by everybody else.
No, this was Eric Mangini's team.
Eric Mangini.
Yeah. They were created by somebody else, not by him.
Right.
The Ryans are useless. Both of them.
Mangini took that, you know, he was taking Mangini's guys and moving them off one by one by one. And then when he was putting his guys in there, you know, and it's funny, too, when you listen to him in the press conference, and Ryan, you're going to find this out in a couple weeks because you have an assignment coming up. When you listen to Rex Ryan talk, he seems to mostly talk about the defense and not the offense. If this is his way he's going to be, he needs to go back to being a defensive coordinator. That's the simple reality of it, he needs to, to go back to become a defensive coordinator.
If there is something that the Ryan family knows nothing about, it's offense and it's defense.
They're useless.
But especially with Rex, you can tell that he just flibber flabbers whenever he's asked an offensive question. He knows absolutely nothing about that side of the ball, and he cares to never learn anything about that side of the ball.
He's not smart enough to learn it at this point. That would be the intelligent thing to do. Instead, he's just going to sit there and evade questions and give stupid answers that make him sound even less intelligent.
I guess the real question is going to be, is how good or bad is this team going to be? I have a friend of mine who works for the Nets, Aaron Harris, who's been a diehard Jets fan for years and years and years. He basically was telling me, like, that he has a lot of insight. He goes to the practices when he's not with the Nets. Basically said that team's going to be one of the worst teams in NFL history. They might go 0-16.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I was going to say that a 6-win season for them this year will be like any other team winning 14.
Yeah, and staying in New York but switching over to the other team, going over to New York Giants, Omi Omosuk is going to join us next week to break down the Giants a little bit more since we're getting close to the training camp opening. Ryan, we were discussing the situation with the draft and the fact that they drafted a quarterback this year with Eli Manning. Are we at a point where they might have to consider getting rid of Eli Manning and start grooming this kid?
No. Eli Manning still has 6 to 8 years left. The reason that they picked Ryan Nassib in the 4th round is because they believe that he has the potential to go out and have a really good year in preseason this year. They may look to give him some extra snaps in case of someone's winning by 3 touchdowns in the 4th quarter. You're going to probably see a lot of Ryan Nassib and also him throwing the ball because they believe that they can turn him into a second-round draft pick.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Now, as far as the Giants go, why don't you think that let me collect my question. All right, sorry. You're saying that Eli Manning has another 6 to 8 years. What happens if he gets injured, like Tony Romo got injured in the 2nd game and he was done for the season? What do you do then if your backup is...
They still have David Carr, who is a former number one overall draft pick, who they're very comfortable with in case of an injury to Eli Manning, and someone who they feel is capable of running this offense. He is very good when it comes to running scout team offenses in practice, and you're never going to hear any Giant shy away from how appreciative they are of David Carr and what he's meant to the team, even as a backup.
How long has he been their backup?
This will be his 3rd year as backup.
Okay. Sorry, I had no idea how long he's been there. So
he's been something else. David Carr, we spoke to him the year before when they were at training camp over at the Timex Center, and he had just got back from San Francisco because he was a backup there. Went to start, you know, went out to San Francisco for like a year, and then came back to the.
Right. So this is his fourth year as a Giant. He spent 1 year as a Giant, then went 1 year to San Fran, and the last 2 years he's been with the Giants again.
Yeah, and he jokingly said to me, he decided he wanted to come back because he missed the great Italian food, the Jersey Italian food. Switching gears here, you know, we were discussing the Yankees briefly before, and Sarah, I don't know if you jumped in on this conversation or not. We were discussing the ratings, and part of the, you know, Major League Baseball's TV ratings have been down this year, about 10-15%.
Not surprised.
Part of the thing with the Yankees this year is obviously they're missing Teixeira. They got beat up with, got hit hard with the injury bug. I think they might have been one of the worst teams as far as injuries are concerned. They're not getting Derek Jeter back until after the All-Star break. They're getting Mark Teixeira back in the next couple weeks. And Granderson is working his way back in now. Can the Yankees keep this pace without their big All-Stars? They're in first place. They have a game lead again over Boston. They're doing it with guys who, you know, when those guys get back, are going to be, you know, whether, you know,
they'll be bench warmers, do you think?
Yeah. Can they keep up this pace?
I think so, actually. I think that if they keep up their faith in the players that are actually playing, I mean, if you look at how well they're actually working together, they look like a veteran team, like not just a bunch of, okay, well, our main players are all injured, so let's throw in whoever we've got left. It doesn't look like that. I mean, I don't watch every game. I have enough baseball with my son's games. You know, between baseball and soccer, I'm home maybe one day a week. But, I mean, when I do watch the games, they don't look like a mishmash-type team. But if you actually look at the names of who's playing, yes, it does look like a mishmash. I know that's not a real word, but, hey, I'm using it.
The two players that I'm interested to see what happens when the team becomes completely healthy are Lyle Overbay and Vernon Wells. Overbay, he hasn't hit throughout the whole year, but he has a lot of clutch hits, and his RBI number is very high for someone who's hitting around 250. Vernon Wells was a trade that the Angels just wanted to unload his salary. The Yankees are paying Vernon Wells very little amount of money, and he's producing the way that he was when he was in Toronto. So when everyone starts to get healthy, those are the two that I want to see how they handle.
Do you think they're going to get to sit, or you think they're actually going to get to play?
I think they'll get to play. At least I think Vernon Wells will get to play more than Lyle Overbay. I think there will end up being a four-man rotation in the outfield with Wells, Ichiro, Gardner, and Grandy. I do think that once Teixeira comes back, you're going to see Teixeira with the majority of the time. The only time Lyle Overbay will ever play once Mark Teixeira is back is against a righty because he can't hit lefty pitching the same way Ike Davis can't hit any pitching.
Now, I have a question for both of you. If this was your team and you had your players back and they were sort of healthy, not completely 100%, but they were still kind of iffy, but they were clear to play, would you put them in or have them wait an extra two or three games?
I would wait an extra couple of games. I'd rather have them up 100% and ready to go than trying to force feed them back in there. Real quick, I'm sorry, but Ryan, before I give your answer, we're talking about them coming back. News just broke a few minutes ago from Wally Matthews from ESPNNewYork.com. In just his eighth game back after missing the first 38 games with a broken right forearm, New York Yankees center fielder Curtis Granderson fractured his left pinky during Friday's game against the Tampa Bay Rays in the fifth inning after being hit with a pitch on his left hand. Granderson remained in the game after it happened with one out in the inning and advanced around the bases. But he should be seen grimacing. X-rays during the game revealed a fracture. So he might be out a little bit longer. So Granderson, who just came back, might be out again. So,
like I said, I don't think that Curtis Granderson will be seeing a lot of time in the near future.
Nice work.
All right, so what's your answer for that one? For my question.
Randy meatloafed me. He took the words right out of my mouth.
Oh.
If Derek Jeter were cleared to play, and Jeter may not be the right example because as long as Jeter is there, he's going to play. If it's someone like a Teixeira, if it's someone like a Granderson, if they're cleared to play, but I'm told that they're in the 85 to 90% range,
mm-hmm.
they're sitting another 2 or 3 days only because I know what I'm getting out of the players that have been playing for me since the start of the year.
That's a respectable answer. As far as the guy that got was seen grimacing from the fractured finger, that was my son from his last baseball game. He got hit with a fastball on his right hand. He was up at bat. Got nailed with the fastball. Messed up his hand. He's done with... he made it through 2 innings after that because he was in the outfield. But when he was supposed to go back up to bat, he couldn't squeeze the bat. So he was done. So Timothy knows exactly how... What was his name? Granderson?
Granderson? Yeah, it's Granderson.
Yeah, so my son knows exactly how Granderson feels. Because that really... It does hurt. So I can understand why he was grimacing. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever been hit and broken something.
I'm a catcher, so I actually had someone there was a play at the plate. The guy tripped over his own feet about 15 feet before the plate and went shoulder first through my left knee, blew out my knee.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so I know
ACL,
all about,
MCL, or just cartilage?
MCL.
I tore my ACL, MCL, pulled everything else in the left knee. I've had 3 reconstructions on it. First one, the doctor said I could get rid of the crutches and the brace 6 weeks after surgery. Fell down the stairs, shredded the graft. Second one was 5 months after the first surgery. Doctor did it wrong, so the ligament fell off the screw. Had to have surgery number 3, but no doctor would touch my knee because of how badly the doctor screwed it up. So number 3 had to go to hospital for special surgeries in Manhattan. Phenomenal place. For all you sports players that ever get injured, if you're listening, best place to go for a sports injury. They are absolutely phenomenal, even if it's not a sports injury. If you have a break or... torn something or other, go there. They will fix you up awesomely.
Hospital for Special Surgery, otherwise known as City Field Junior.
By the way, 84-81 in the fourth quarter, Pacers beating the Heat. Listen to this stat line. Remember, we're only...
Wait. What was that one? You broke up. I couldn't hear the whole thing.
84-81 Indiana over Miami right now in the fourth quarter, eight minutes and 30 seconds to go in the fourth. Listen to this stat line. If you're a Miami Heat fan, you're loving this. What you love hearing this about LeBron James. 36 minutes, 12 of 17 from the field, 3 for 6 from the three-point line, 4 for 6 from the foul line, 31 points.
Woohoo! Keep it up.
Five boards, 3 assists.
Keep going, dude. I am a Heat fan. I'm surprised that they're not doing as well as I would like them to be. I'm not sure why.
My question to you is, are you going to be a Heat fan after LeBron James goes back to the Cleveland Cavaliers at the end of next season?
Oh, yeah. I was a Heat fan.
She's been a Heat fan for a long time, right?
Yeah.
As long as I know her.
I'm not a bandwagoner. It was, I went from being a Bulls fan to having to find somebody else. I was a, what are they called? Charlotte Hornets, I think they used to be called. I was a fan of them before I was a Bulls fan. I became a Bulls fan because of all the grief and aggravation I was getting from my brother and my father. And then they started winning, so it didn't matter. But once Jordan left, I started looking around. Then I became a Wizards fan just because I thought that was awesome what he did for the team. Not because he played for them. I thought what he did was awesome. Bring a team from obscurity to a playoff team. I thought that was cool. But
Ryan and Sarah, real quick here. I don't know if either of you have been watching the series so far or watching much of the playoffs with Miami. If you're a Miami Heat fan, you should be a little bit worried that Chris Anderson's only played 15 minutes tonight, 7 points.
I don't think so. I think Chris Anderson is better when he doesn't see as many minutes because he's such a high-energy player. I think if he sees 4 or 5 minutes a quarter, that works best for him.
And by the way, for Indiana leading the way, Roy Hibbert, 25 points, 8 boards, 8 for 12 from the field. Paul George, a much better shooting night than game one, 9 of 13 from the field for 22 points, 1 for 1 from downtown. Indiana is shooting the lights out. They're shooting 50% from the field. I'm sorry, 54% from the field, 50% from the three-point line, and 84% from the free-throw line, whereas Miami is shooting 48% from the field, 37% from the three-point line, and 65% from the foul line. Dwayne Wade, 6 for 13 from the field, 2 for 3 from the free-throw line. Chris Bosh, 5 for 10 from the field. So, and they're not getting much, either team not getting much out of their bench.
Not surprised.
Indiana is getting a lot from their starting five. David West, 11 points, 9 for 10 from the free throw line, 1 for 8 from the field. LeBron James, as they're showing right now at TNT, is bandaging up his hand. Looks like he got banged up a little bit. Right now, Pacers are at the free throw line to make it a 4-point play. Missed the free throw. So, with that being said,
I've got the hiccup. I thought I got rid of them, but they're back. So I apologize to you guys who are listening for the random sounds in the background.
Real quick note here as we're winding down here on the show. Real quick, go over the Back Sports page radio schedule for everyone. 760-283-0846 if you want to join into our conversation. Every Sunday night, you have Beyond the Benches with Ryan Stern. He is on from, I believe, 7 o'clock. Is that correct?
7:30 to 9.
So, okay, 7:30 to 9 with Ryan Stern every Sunday Beyond the Benches on the Back Sports page to Radio Network. Dwayne Wade, that was Mario Chalmers who just made that movie. Very nice. Every Monday afternoon from 12 to 12:30, Talking Sports with Mike T. every Tuesday night, the Seth and Sean show. They're on from 7 to 9 o'clock every Tuesday, the longest running show on the Mech Sports Page Radio Network. Foul Territory, Mech Sports Page's number one baseball program, every Wednesday night from 9 to 11. And right now, Real Sports Talk Radio, every Friday night from 9:30 to 11. We have some very, very, very interesting guests coming up, especially next week. We're going to have a really, really, really good time. To let everybody know now, Jason Sensation will be live with us next Friday night, as well as Herman Edwards. And we'll see where the NBA playoffs are. If the playoffs are still in the conference finals at that point, we'll probably have somebody on the talk conference finals with us. But
Herm
right
Edwards
now,
is awesome.
Herm will be on with us. And we're also maybe Mr. Canty was thinking about joining us as well. We were talking with him about that a little bit earlier today. But Jason Sensation will be with us next week, which will be a lot of fun. Just in case you don't know who he is, he's one of the best impressionists in the country today. Ryan, I know you remember him.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's a lot of fun. We're going to do sound off real quick. We only have about 4 minutes left. Well, Ryan, we'll start with you. It's sound off. What's on your mind?
That sounds like me before.
Right now, he's trying to sound like, talk like his daughter.
Yeah. I guess, what other way should I go than with a little bit of Rangers talk? There was so much that was made this past year over Chris Kreider. Chris Kreider made his debut with the Rangers during last year's playoff run and came on like a bat out of hell. Scored 5 goals in his first 7 playoff games, including 2 game winners. And he was everybody's pick this year for Rookie of the Year. John Tortorella absolutely mishandled how to play this guy. He was sent up and down 3 times during the year because Tortorella couldn't figure out how to make him work on the defensive end. There are some players that you need, especially when your team lacks scoring. Chris Kreider is one of those guys that have to be playing, and now all of a sudden he's playing on the second line with Rick Nash, and what do you know, he scores the game-winning goal in overtime against Boston. Chris Kreider needs to be a part of this team from here on out.
Sarah, you are up.
Hi. Well, I don't know. I really don't know what to talk about. I'll talk about the game, the Miami Heat game, because they're winning right now. They up, I think it's 88 some to something. I don't know.
It went to 88-84.
Awesome. So personally, since I am a Heat fan, I definitely think they're going to win. Actually, since I've turned on the game, they've actually started winning, so I guess I've got to start watching more games. But anyway, actually, back to what we were talking about earlier as far as people wearing their fan gear, I think you got to take it in moderation. If you're going to a wedding, highly inappropriate to be breaking out your fan gear, unless it's like a pair of boxers where nobody's going to see. Guys, if you want to get a girl, do yourself a favor. Don't just wear fan gear. Break out the nice clothing. If you want to keep a girl and your daughter, share your fan gear with her. Get her into your same team. Then it'll work much easier for you as far as fan gear goes. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me tonight, by the way. And it was very nice speaking with you guys. It's been awesome.
My final thoughts are very, very simple. LeBron James, like we were talking about earlier, LeBron James is the best player in basketball. If they win another championship, those other 12 guys should be taking him out for, should be taking him out for dinner, thanking him for literally carrying him to a championship. He literally just scored the last 10 points up until Chris Bosh hit the three. I know the letters M and E are in the word team, but LeBron James is the best player in the NBA right now. At this time last year, I would be killing him for being a little bit of a selfish ball player, that he's really getting anything, but that's where he and Jordan differ. It's not all about LeBron for him. It's all about the team. So kudos to both of them. For Ryan Stern, Sarah Gordon, I'm Randy Zellia. See you guys next week, Real Sports Talk Radio.
How do I hang this thing up?